personal organization skills are important to be successful.
Especially as a business analyst.
There are always things that need to be done.
Paperwork on the desk.
Emails with information and tasks.
Important things you have on mind.
And all the BA tasks that wait to be started.
If you want to know how to learn getting things done,
then stay tuned.
Sie hören den Business Analyse Podcast Wissen, was zählt mit Ingrid und Peter Gerstbach. www.businessanalyse.at. Denn Erfolg beginnt mit Verstehen.
Today's special topic is about structuring work. And therefore we have invited
a special guest.
Special guest, an author who really knows how to do it because he wrote the famous book Getting Things Done. So welcome, David Allen.
Hello.
Hi, I'm glad to be here. Es freut mich. Good to sein, yeah.
Perfect.
Sehr schön.
So David, let's start. Could you tell us something about you and your how did you get to getting things done?
Well, I was a consultant and have done consulting work for many years. And early in my consulting practice, I began to uncover some best practices of working with entrepreneurs and business owners to help them clear their heads so they could focus on the bigger picture and the long-term stuff. You know, kind of the important strategic things. Mm-hmm. The problem oftentimes we found was that people were so distracted by the work that was not being managed that their heads weren't clear enough to actually be doing the kind of vision work or, you know, focusing on values or strategies. So if your mind is all wrapped around 3 weeks ago and, you know, all kinds of unfinished things that are taking up your attention, it's a little challenging to actually be thinking about the things you ought to be thinking about with a clear focus. So I discovered those techniques and over the years tested them out and found that they were, as we say, bulletproof. You couldn't, you know, anybody who started to implement these techniques automatically felt more in control and more focused, which are the two real key elements to being productive. You need to make sure that you have stability and appropriate focus. And the techniques worked for everybody. They worked for CEOs of big companies. They worked for children. They worked for stay-at-home parents. They worked for anybody. And so over the years, I discovered that it was actually somewhat unique, that nobody else seemed to have put it together the way I did. So finally, as I say, it took 25 years for me to figure out what I had figured out and that it was actually unique. So then I decided I'd better write the book so that in case I got run over by a bus, it would be some, the manual would be there. So that's really why I did it, was it really was a the result of 25 years of working this material with, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people sitting next to them at their desk and literally thousands of hours, you know, putting people through this process and watching the results.
Yeah. Did you have some models that inspired you or something like that?
I had some mentors and people that I worked with who had come up with some of these techniques. There wasn't any one person that sort of had all of them. One of my first consultants that I worked with, was a very good friend, had developed an organizational consulting model that had a couple of components that were very, very powerful. The component of, first of all, getting everything out of your head. And then secondly, deciding once you've got everything out of your head, what's the action step? What's the very, very next action step on something? And those are two key elements of the best practices of the getting things done model. And, you know, my colleague had uncovered those as a way to clear an executive's focus so that they could do the strategic work that he was trying to do. It turns out that when you when you just get somebody's head clear, it solves a lot of other problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see. Yeah. So our context is business analysis, and there you have kind of similar problems. I mean, you said your concept is a generic one, and I can say I've spoken to many people who are using your method, what you wrote in your book, and they are sometimes from similar roles and disciplines as we are, and sometimes from other areas. I can tell you from my point of view, yes, it's right. You can use this getting things done method for different kind of
roles,
of jobs. And
well, it addresses a universal issue.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 10 years, there's been quite a bit of cognitive research, mm-hmm. How our minds work. And much of that research, there have been very significant studies that have now proven why the methods that I put forth in my book, why they really work.
So that's interesting. It was an empiric approach you chose, and now you have got the the facts for you.
Now the academics and the theoreticians are catching up with me.
Mm-hmm.
That your head is for having ideas, but not for holding them. It's
okay.
Not designed for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's true,
and
yes.
Unfortunately, most of the world, 99.9% of the world, are still trusting their psyche or their head to be their office.
Mm-hmm.
And to be making good strategic decisions and being clear, and it doesn't work that well.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're still using your head to be making strategic or even tactical choices, instead of having all of your options out of your head so that you could make better, see a better analysis or a better overview of all of your options and see the larger gestalt, then you're probably going to be making decisions based upon the latest or loudest things in your mind,
mm-hmm.
which is not the most strategic way to approach things.
Mm-hmm. So you have these two key factors you told us.
Well, there are several key factors, but certainly one of the major ones is, there's really five steps to how do you get something under control and mm-hmm. how do you get appropriately focused. I described those in the book of the five stages of how do you manage workflow.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first step is to capture what's not, as we say, on cruise control. In other words, what has your attention? What do you have on your mind? And that's the first step when we coach people and work with people, is to get them to literally empty their head
mm-hmm.
and also, identify all the things that have their attention.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't even have any kind of an idea how many things are actually on their mind.
Yeah.
Because you can only remember one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you started to write them down, and usually we get people to write them down on separate pieces of paper and then put them into their own in tray or their own in basket. So that's the first step, is just identifying what it is that you have attention on.
Mm-hmm.
See, if there's interestingly that if you have your mind on something, if you keep thinking about a project, or you keep thinking about a situation, or you keep thinking about a problem, 95% of the time, that the reason you're thinking about it is because it's hung up,
mm-hmm.
and you're probably the bottleneck. The
mm-hmm.
reason it has your attention is there's something you haven't decided about it, or you haven't parked the results in some sort of trusted system
mm-hmm.
that you trust. That you or the right person will be reminded of what they ought to be reminded about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first step, is just gathering that. And that can take, anywhere from 1 to 6 hours for a typical, senior level professional, just mm-hmm. to identify what's on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to make any decisions about it. It's just to identify it. So that's step one, is just capturing all of that.
So that's for example, when I think of things that I have to do that are not finished, I can for example look in my email inbox, and there are plenty of mails which needs my attention.
Sure.
And then there are things on my desk, and there are things that I've never written down. Somebody asked me about it, for example, if I had a meeting last week and I did some notes which contain many tasks, that would be something of this. Is this correct?
Exactly. because actually the first thing we do is literally sit down with you or to wherever your workspace is and say, what doesn't belong here permanently?
Mm-hmm.
So all those meeting notes, all those business cards, all those receipts, all those magazines that you've stacked up, basically anything that doesn't belong there permanently, we would just refile that back into your in-basket.
But all the things that are in your head.
And all those things in mm-hmm. your head. Well, that would be the number two is once we've gathered all the physical indications of something that's incomplete, then we would empty your head. What else do you have your mind on? Projects that you haven't finished, things you need to talk to people about, things you need to buy at the store,
mm-hmm.
things you're waiting on from other people, all of that. We would capture all of that. That's step one. The second step then is an important one because if you just wrote it down and didn't take it any further, now you're just making piles and lists. And you know that doesn't help either.
Mm-hmm.
That will come back up into your head if some part of you doesn't trust you're going to empty out that in basket. So the second step is getting your in basket empty by going through each one of those things that you've captured or collected and getting clear about what exactly it means to you. Is it something you're going to do something about? Is it something you need to take action on? If not, then you either throw it away or you file it as reference material, or you might want to store it in an incubate place to rethink it later on.
Mm-hmm.
If it is something that you need to act on, then you need to ask and answer two key questions. First question is, what's the very next action that needs to be done on it? And if that one action won't finish whatever it's about, then you need to capture that as a project. So outcome and action are the two critical distinctions you need to make about things you do need to move on
mm-hmm.
or things that are actionable. So that's stage two, is making those decisions about it. Very closely tied to that are stage three, which is to organize the results. Now, what you don't need to organize are the less than 2 minute actions. So if you're familiar with my stuff and you've started to work it, you'll probably, as most people think, wow, the 2 minute rule is really magic.
Yes, indeed.
Once you decide what if the next step can be done in less than 2 minutes, if you're ever going to do it at all, you should do it right then, because it would take you longer to stack it up and finish it right then.
The typical thing is what helped me is really with emails, because sometimes an email is just an answer is one or two sentences.
And then I click,
What I did before is often, I read the mail and then say, oh, I have to answer it. And then I read it again 10 minutes later and then 1 hour later and 1 day later. But in fact, it's 2 minutes.
Sure. Now, to clarify a little bit, what you don't want to do is spend all day doing 2 minute things. You could, but really that 2 minute rule applies when you're cleaning up things that you have captured.
Okay.
So when you're, in other words, I may look at email and say, I need to work on, editing this next chapter, and I'm not even going to look at email for the next 3 hours. So, I don't want to be looking in there and finding all the 2 minute things to do.
Mm-hmm.
I need to do other work.
Mm-hmm.
But when it is time to then clean up my email and say, okay, now what's the new work that has come in? That's when you would apply the 2 minute rule.
How often do you make such things? How often do you look in your email account or do 2 minute things?
As often as I want to.
Okay.
So, some days I'm in it regularly. Some days I don't look.
Okay.
Hardly at it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, I usually work from no backlog. So
okay.
My email is usually zero every 2 or 3
wow.
days at least. It can go 2 or 3 days without anything blowing up or exploding
mm-hmm.
on me, because it's not very old to begin with. But typically once a day I will try to get the backlog clean. The reason for cleaning up backlog is because when you get new input, the bigger your backlog is, the more that new input bothers you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you have no backlog, new input is just new opportunities, new ways to influence your world, new things that could be very cool.
That's a nice way of thinking, yeah.
Well, it's if you were ever on a sailboat, whenever there's calm weather and calm water, What are you doing? You're cleaning up. You're getting ready for the storm and the heavy seas that may be coming.
Right, yeah.
If you leave all the junk around and all the rope just laid out all over the deck, when the storm hits, you know, that's no fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have guests coming over for dinner, what do you want to do? You want to start with a clean kitchen. Mm. You know, it'll become chaotic while they're there because that's fun. You know, you need the freedom to make a mess.
Yes.
But if you're already in a mess, you can't make one.
Mm. That's
so
right.
Yes. I'm always cleaning up to get ready to make the next mess.
That's nice.
Well, that is the most productive time, is when you have the freedom to have bad ideas and to mind map and to brainstorm and to spread it around, you know, and to read 14 different recipes for how to make the custard. Or, you know, that's messy. It should be. But if your kitchen is out of control, you're not going to have the freedom to expand and express and play.
Yes, you need space.
You need space.
Mm.
And a lot of what the methodology of getting things done is about is creating psychic space.
Mm-hmm.
You need physical space too, but you need psychic space more than anything.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
So, you know, how long does it take to have a good idea? Like, doesn't take any time at all.
No, not really.
But you don't need time. You need space. If you don't have space in your head, you don't have room for good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If it's filled up with a lot of tasks, then you can't free.
You know, the fancy phrase that the cognitive sciences scientists are now using is cognitive load.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're keeping something in your mind, it's spinning around in there, and it creates cognitive load.
Mm-hmm.
And they've now proven that actually degenerates performance. The more stuff you've got in your mind that you're distracted about, that you keep thinking of, and you then try to sit down and perform, you know, whether that's problem solving, creative thinking, or whatever, they've proven that it diminishes your ability to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So there is literally a limit to how much your mind can hang on to and still function well. And so, you know, that's the space that you need.
Yeah.
So constantly being able to empty that. It doesn't mean you need to finish your work. It does mean you need to define your work and then organize it appropriately so that some part of you is now appropriately engaged with it.
Mm-hmm.
So stage one is capture. Stage two is clarify or process what the stuff means specifically. And then once you define what it means, in other words, that's reference, that's an action I need to take. If you can't finish it in 2 minutes, then that's what you need to organize.
Mm-hmm.
You need to then create lists or categories of reminders. Here's a list of all my projects now. Here's a list of all the phone calls I need to make now. Here's a list of, you know, all the things I need to do at my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where creating some appropriate categories to hold these so that then when I'm at a phone and I have time, it's very easy for me to see the work I could do right there. So I just look at my calls list. So that's stage three, is being able to just park these things in appropriate categories. So you don't have to keep rethinking what is it and what do I need to do about it. You've already done that thinking. Don't make yourself rethink it. So, you know, people that are trying to use their email in basket as a place to hold all their reminders of work to do constantly have to keep rethinking which ones do they need to do, which ones reference, which ones trash. So yes. I'm only organized so I don't, because I'm so lazy, I don't like to have to rethink what something means. Once I decide what it means, let me park it where those things go. So I don't have to keep rethinking what it means.
And sometimes I use it that way, although knowing it's maybe not
just
a good idea.
Or
just parking, because I say, okay, there is an email and there's a task attached to this mail. I have to do something. And then I decide, okay, I'll let it in the inbox until I'm finished and I don't need to write it down on anywhere else.
If you have less than a screen full of emails, that probably can work okay.
Yeah, so, that's it. And if it's more than one screen, then
the
problem starts. Yes, definitely. Then it's in half a day, it's 20 times the screen.
Yes.
And, you know, it just requires you to then create some folders or some categories. I mean, a quick way to get control of your email is to create a file that's, you know, in your navigator bar, wherever you're holding file folders, but make it look different and create a folder called action.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the longer than 2 minute emails that you need to then do something about or with. And then you can drag those into that folder. And, you know, if you deleted everything you need to delete and handle the 2 minute ones, and also create reference files and move your emails that have no action, but you just need to keep in case you need to refer to them. You know, most people are just too lazy to create file folders for those, but then that just gets crazy. You know, you need to be able to make a file in a second and drag it over there. I probably got 250 files. Wow. If you looked in my email folders.
Okay.
You know, I'll make a file for anything if I think it's a theme or a topic or a person I might want to refer back to. Mm-hmm. But I get it out of my in-basket. Mm-hmm. So those things, if you just filed and deleted and handled the two-minute ones, they reduce it. There are only two kind of emails that would be left, the emails that that require work, that longer than two-minute work that you need to think about, read, or do something with, and the emails that represent something you might be waiting for. Mm-hmm. So if you created an action folder and a waiting for folder, but make them look different than your reference folders. If you were using Outlook, you'd use the at sign. If you were using Lotus Notes, you could use a dash, something that would throw it to the top of your folder sort, mm-hmm. given the alpha sort on the folders.
Yeah.
And then just make an action folder and a waiting for folder. And then you can drag the action emails into that one and the waiting for emails into that one. Then you've emptied out your in-basket. You may not have done any work other than the two-minute ones that you did, but you actually now have defined what your work is and you've parked it in an appropriate place. Then when things come into your in-basket, you know that message is, hey, that's what these things mean, is still undecided stuff, mm-hmm. as opposed to rethinking stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's easier to categorize this.
It is. The danger there, of course, as you know, is out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
So if you park it in a folder, then, you know, most people then forget to look in that folder. So you've really created a category of action there. So you need to be disciplined enough or mature enough or, you know, in working the system importantly enough that you still open that with some frequency if you have discretionary time to see what work you might need to do.
Mm-hmm. So you really just have two folders. Action,
you can
and
do that.
Waiting.
That's a quick way to get control
okay.
of it.
And trash.
You know, various different email programs and applications have the ability to be able to drag your emails into the task function. In mm-hmm. Outlook, you can do that. In other places, you can, other kinds of apps now, you can create an action. You can take an email and make it an action. But that takes a little bit of thinking in terms of how to do that to make that that process simple.
Yeah.
That way, if you're using the task function inside of an application, that way your actionable emails could be seen along with all your other tasks. The main thing is appropriate engagement. See, you and the three of us are not doing a lot of things right now because we're talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the degree to which you can be and have the space and room to feel free talking to me right now is only if some part of you is feels like you're appropriately engaged with all the rest of the stuff you're not doing.
Okay.
So you just need to have looked recently enough at all of the stuff you're not doing and saying, that's okay, that'll wait till I'm off this podcast with David Allen.
That's right, yes.
But most people feel best about their work a week before they go on a big holiday.
That's
because
right,
what do you think you're doing a week before you go on a big holiday? You're capturing, you're clarifying, you're organizing, and then you're reviewing and renegotiating. You know, that'll wait. Oh, that one won't. I need to finish that before mm-hmm. I leave. And mm-hmm. then you got a clear head, or you should have, before you go on a vacation. I just suggest people do that weekly, not yearly.
Mm-hmm.
So we have now cleared. First step was clearing, and then getting it.
The first is to capture, and then to clarify, and then to organize. Stage four is to step back and review. Because
mm-hmm.
even if you park stuff in there or put things on list, if you don't on some frequency, you know, open it up and relook. So that you can feel comfortable up still about what you're doing and what you're not doing. So the review process is equally critical. So in other words, you need to engage with your system, not just park it there and hope things happen. You have to now use that organization and that system to keep you focused. And then stage five is to engage. Where do I put my focus and my attention given all of that? So if I've captured, clarified, organized, and reviewed all of the work at hand, then my choices are coming from trust and not hope. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're after.
Mm-hmm. It takes less energy to achieve the results when you are clear. And
yes.
I think these are five great steps to get there.
Yes, but it's not free. You actually, it doesn't happen by itself. And we don't seem to be born doing this. So it is something that you need to train yourself to do. Most people do it implicitly, but they usually do it when the pressure on their world forces them to make some of these kinds of decisions. And then they're still, they're making decisions out of pressure and still not trusting what they're doing. So training yourself to be making choices about what things are, what they mean, what you're going to do about them, if anything, on the front end instead of on the back end, is that's really the, what this training is really about. And you can train yourself to do that. So at some point, that will just become habit. You won't even think of it. You'll think it's silly not to do that. But until you get there, and it can take a year or two to really train yourself to do these as a habit.
But we do it daily.
It's easy to understand it. It's all simple ideas, so it's not hard to do. And the it's not really a skill. You have the skill to write things down. You have the skill to decide actions and outcomes. You have the skill to create lists. You have the skill to look at a list and make choices. So there's no new skill that you need to build. You just need to build that set of behaviors as a habitual methodology.
And what helps to building this habit?
Well, that's a good question. You know, if I had the secret sauce, you know, I'd probably make a lot more money than I'm making, you know, to make that work. The reason most people, I think, resist doing this process is they're so used to and they're so comfortable with the stress that they're in. If you truly, once you taste what it's like to have nothing on your mind, you will have to do this because this is the only way you get the stuff off your mind. So training, you know, essentially raising the bar and raising your standard about how clear you want your head to be is really the primary factor to doing this.
So and your picture about people is that they have the skill to do that, that we are able to integrate these five steps fast, nearly fast.
Oh, you could do it. Then, you could do it right now.
Okay.
Instantly.
Instantly.
It's very easy to, all you have to do is get a pen and paper and start writing down everything that's on your mind.
Okay. Let's do an example.
The trick is to get yourself to do that when you're not talking to me.
we could do it in a kind of way now, because when I look here at our desk, for example.
It's a mess.
Yeah, it's a mess. It is currently, indeed. And for example, there's one book which I wanted to review. So I want to read parts of it and write a review to put it on our blog. So that would be to capture one thing. Okay, this book I want to review and then put it back to the shelf because it's maybe the best where to store it, isn't it?
It is, unless you wanted to create a separate box or a separate basket for books you want to read and review. So you don't need to write it on a list if the physical thing is a sufficient reminder. You just want to make sure there's nothing else in that box but those things.
Okay.
So in this example, what is helping? Because sometimes I think having too many lists is not a good way. So there is an email program. I think this is a kind of typical thing. This is one inbox. Then you have your desk, and if I start having 10 boxes and on the computer getting things done app and some lists, well, I get confused.
Well, put it all on one list and see which is less confusing.
So, but would you recommend using many lists or one list?
As many as you need to make it simple.
Okay.
See, if you have 150, most people, by the way, have over 150 next actions. If you really got at the inventory. So think about looking at one list of 150 things when you get to a phone.
Well, that's overwhelming.
You wouldn't want to do that. You'd want to see all your phone calls grouped together, right?
For example, there is one idea that the mind is able to capture about 5 to 9 nine things at the same time. So there is 7 plus minus 2, I think. So
yeah, they've updated that to 4.
Really?
Downgraded to 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've upgraded their information. Yeah.
Yes, is it this information junk? So is it advisable to have this kind of number of lists or?
Well, I think interestingly that when you drive a car, there are about 10 things that you monitor and manage. If you fly a plane, there's about 10 things you monitor or manage.
Mm.
At your desk, there are about 10 things you monitor or manage. So there seems to be something in about how the mind likes to group it together. If you tried to put them all into one thing, it would be too complicated. But if you had 25, it would be too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the right number that you need to chunk something down into so that you can control it? So usually if you're trying to control something very complex, somewhere between 7 and 12 categories tends to be how people will naturally sort things so that they can manage it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no right or wrong about that, but just look around and you'll see that tends to be what people do. And you need as many lists as you need. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you're still paying bills, you know, with paper-based bill paying and writing checks for that, you know, you don't need to put that on make that a separate list or somewhere and carry that around with you. Mm-hmm. You just need to have one place that you that you collect all of the bills to pay, and then on the weekend you sit down and pay them. That's a category of reminders.
Okay.
And you know, if you keep a Post-it sticky in your kitchen for groceries you realize you need.
Mm-hmm.
So that then, you know, that's also a list. So if you looked around, you'd see quite a number of categories that you've already set up,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's
Once they're habitual, you don't think that that's hard to do. That's where those things go. I don't need to be reminded of my grocery list if I'm not at the grocery store or going, right?
So then it's out of the mind and it doesn't disturb other things done.
Yeah. Right. It's really, hey, what do you need to do to get this off your mind? It's really that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any problem, you know, coaching people about what to do about anything. I say, well, great. What do you need to do to get that off your mind? And then you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a lot of suggestions because most people don't really realize what it's like to not have something on their mind.
Hmm.
But I just discovered the algorithm or the formula about how you do that. You have to you have to capture what it is, decide what it means, park the results based upon what it means in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And then review and renegotiate with yourself on some regular basis. Say, that's okay. I'm now appropriately engaged with my grocery list. I'm now appropriately engaged with the books that I told myself I want to review and write about.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you need to do to get those books off your mind? Well, one thing you could do is go read all those books and write all the reviews. That's one way to do it, is go finish the work. But if you looked at all of that and said, no, it's time for a nap, or I'd rather have a beer, or it's time to hang out with Ingrid, you know, whatever you're doing, you know, and say, that's more important than those six books I told myself to read.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've spread those books all over your house, then there's a part of you that feels like, golly, there's books all around here I should probably be reading. Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you've now added cognitive load to yourself instead of taking it off.
So just capture.
That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Mm.
Now I have a question which sometimes turned out to... it makes things difficult, and that's about projects. Because when I am writing lists, I find it helpful if all items on this list are about the same size. If there is one outload which is with a size is much bigger, then it confuses me, I think, and I can't wait this list anymore. So mm-hmm. What do you do with greater tasks, with projects?
Well, I've discovered that just having the project list serves a certain function. I don't look at that every day, and I don't look at that when I'm working on a project. I look at that once a week to say, are all the projects moving forward appropriately?
Mm-hmm.
Little or big, personal or professional. So it's what's the function of the list? So you have to go back, you know, as good business analysts, you know, you need to ask yourself, what's the purpose of this process?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the purpose of a project list? And Peter, if you ask yourself, what's the purpose of my list that might have different things on it? I say, mm-hmm. Well, great. Well, then why is that confusing to you? Oh, I need to make priority choices. Well, you can't do a project to begin with. You can't do a project. Projects are the result of doing actions, right? So the only thing you can do are actually actions. So the project list should just be, it should serve the purpose of driving, what are all the actions that I need to do about all the things I'm committed to finish?
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have all those actions, sure, it helps to step back and see the larger picture to say, okay, which ones of those are most critical or most important or will give me the best payoff if I get those finished first. And but that those decisions should be off your action list, not off your projects.
Okay. Is this the secret of being engaged or something like that?
Yeah. Well, if you haven't figured out the very next action on a project, you're not keeping your agreement with yourself about the project if it's a project you need to be moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, getting things done requires two things. You need to define what does done mean?
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, what does doing look like and where does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep looking at a project and haven't decided the next action, there's a part of you that says, you need to decide, you need to decide, you need to decide, you need to decide, you need to decide. And it will stress you out to look at that list.
Mm-hmm. It's again something that's in your mind and it's not
you're
captured.
You're not appropriately engaged with the project.
It needs space.
Ideally, appropriate engagement means you've looked across the project to notice any parts of that project you could be moving on right now. Independent pieces, if you will. They're not dependent on each other. You know, on this project, I could make these three phone calls. There's two things I need to surf the web about, and there's one thing I need to buy at the store. And if they're not dependent on each other, you need to have all of those actions figured out and in the appropriate place.
So that allows
you to feel comfortable. Okay, I now know, you know, what needs to happen on the project, and I'm appropriately reminded of those actions.
Mm-hmm. You then have space.
Yeah. Sounds easy, but again, yeah. Because life is changing and moving so fast, to keep that current.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a habit.
To keep that going, again, it's part of that habit that you build in terms of just applying this methodology.
Yeah, that's really important.
It's a discipline.
For example, looking at emails, well, for me, this works out very well. But sometimes I get lost, and then I have too many emails in my inbox, and I stop doing the methodology. But well, you then have to take more time and capture it and organize it, and then it works again.
Well, here's the good news for you, Peter. You know, you fall off the wagon, but at least you know there's a wagon.
That's right.
I fall off the wagon regularly. But it doesn't bother me because it's kind of the Zen version of this is once you really get good at this, it doesn't matter if things are out of control because you know you can fix it whenever you need to. So,
yeah,
so it allows you to really be lazy. But that's a little dangerous. But once you know the game, see, once you know that you could get clear when you need to, that's going to help a lot. If it's not knowing that you could get this back to clear and empty again, but once you've tasted that, then you know you could get back there. Whether you do or not then becomes, you know, either your lazy factor or you're okay with the stress you're sitting in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great having a clean desk. It's great having an empty inbox. And if you have if you have made this experience well, then you want to have it back. And it's good advice. Just think
it's
of
like,
it.
It's like, you know, your car drives better when you clean it.
Yeah.
Have you noticed?
Definitely. Yes, Peter found today an email from November, I think. November?
Yes, it was. It's from November. And
unanswered?
Yes, it is still unanswered. And I know when I got it in November, I said, well, it's not that important, but I'll leave it in my inbox. And so I'll answer it in one day or so.
Christmas and...
Yes, and with Christmas, and I will have time then. And
then well, holidays. And
so actually, when I look back, it's now we have February. So it was at least 4 months in my inbox. So I haven't experienced this empty inbox for 4 months. Well, although I think I had times where there was only this one email and I didn't move it to this action folder because actually I often...
You forget it.
Yeah, I forget this action folder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I tried it and it works out, but after some days, usually I forget about this action folder. So what can be done against this?
Well, it would be great if somebody designed some software so that it would start to stink, you know, or smoke.
Oh,
you
no,
know,
no.
If things got too old in there. But, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't do that. You know, your kitchen will start to do that, you know.
Yeah.
So it'll start to, you know, if you don't clean it up.
Yeah, it actually does when I'm not here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know this problem.
Okay, we have to cut this out afterwards, I think.
Yeah, well, but again, that's part of the habit that once you get used to it. So the way you build a habit is the way you build any habit. Just repetition, repetition, repetition. Mm-hmm. Come on back. Come on back. It's easy to fall off this wagon and it's easy to get back on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, it's the weekend, guys. Clean up. Got to zero out your in basket. Just once, you know, just then you can celebrate.
Yes.
So we now have the question of the projects, then with falling off the wagon. I like this picture.
Mm-hmm.
And one question I have is about over-organizing, because sometimes when I'm doing it, or that's what other people say as well often, is, well, if I write everything down, it takes me more time than to just doing it. Is this right? Is this wrong? What do you think about it?
Well, if it's just doing it, sure, just go do anything. You know, whenever it occurs to you, go finish it. You'd have a very ineffective life, however.
Mm-hmm.
You would just,
as soon as you realize, oh, we need cat food, you'd have to drop everything, get in the car, drive to the store, and buy cat food.
So
that's silly.
That's just this 2 minutes rule, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just think about it. Do you need 2 minutes?
If you can do it in 2 minutes, sure, mm-hmm. just go ahead and do it. But most of the things that you'll think about won't be able to be finished in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you want to just keep rethinking them, that's fine. How about I think it once, write it down, and not have to think about it again? Right. So that's where you have to make that kind of choice. And yes, you can get over-organized. You know, there is a point of diminishing returns in terms of how discreet do I make all these lists, and, you know, how much thinking about each one of my projects should I mind map, and should I granular into levels of detail and create a Gantt chart and all that. You know, at some point you go, that's sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
But your maximum productivity point is at that point of diminishing returns.
Mm-hmm.
But most people wouldn't recognize over-organized if it kissed them in the face. So I suggest if you're going to make a mistake, over-organize and then back it up to what you really need.
Okay.
Most people haven't even come close.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. But I have another question. I think every time I read your book, I have a different view of it.
Yes.
Is this possible? Why is it?
I had somebody who's read it 5 times, and he said it's a different book.
Every time, it's true.
It's different every time I read it.
Okay.
No, it is, because you're in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
See, if something is true, has a truth to it, and basic principles that are universal, I'll be bold enough to say it's what you're reading is true in there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true, then it will reflect back to you your current reality.
Mm-hmm.
And your current reality is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read the book 6 months from now, you'll see it through a different lens. And so that information will resonate in a different way.
Mm-hmm. I hope the habit to do the things done, yes, is done. So just practice.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
And here's the thing. It's fun. It, you know, once you get the game, it's like playing the game. Wow, what's in my in basket?
Yeah.
Well, let me see.
Oh, I love this space, this empty space of emails and just doing work. It's fun, yes?
But I think the most difficult thing is, well, getting engaged and doing the things. So because otherwise the lists are growing and growing, and if you don't start doing, well.
Yeah. You're right. It's a big key. Just start going. Just take a step.
Yeah. You think too much.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Just don't think so much and just do it.
Oh, think as much as you want. Just don't have the same thoughts twice.
Okay.
Yeah, like don't read your emails twice. Read it once and then decide upon it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, come on. Practically speaking, I do emergency scanning too. You know, let me look for the jokes, or let me look for the immediate things, or let me look for the cool YouTubes that I want to go see. Sure, why not? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, the problem is most people have structured their whole work life as emergency scanning, and they're not cleaning up ever.
Mm-hmm.
So they're constantly thinking they have to keep checking, keep checking.
Yeah.
And that won't actually, that's not, you know, I
will healthy.
Scan and briefly look from time to time, but that's not my work style.
Mm-hmm.
But most people, that's why they keep looking at their smartphones. That's why they keep looking at their texts. That's why they keep looking at all that stuff, because they're never zeroing it out.
It's all
the habit. If you actually zeroed it out, there's a part of you that can turn and walk from that very easily, you know, without having to keep checking. But it's an addiction.
Yeah. What I really, really like on this list is if you take a look on your watch and you see, okay, I have still 15 minutes to the next meeting. So you can really look on your list and say, okay, which of these items can be done in 15 minutes or maybe in 10. That's really important because otherwise you won't start any important things and maybe you will start, but you won't be able to finish it. So that's what really, really makes it for me very valuable having these lists to use the space you have, the time space you have.
Sure. And there's lots of ways that you can build context for these. It's an interesting thing, by the way. And I've now partnered with a software company to be looking at what's the next generation of productivity software.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the subtlety and sophistication of next actions, for instance, would be, wouldn't it be nice to design your own, radio buttons? When you choose an action, like I need to call this person, you could radio button, this will take less than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, this requires a lot of mental energy, or this I could do, you know, without much energy. This relates to my personal life, my family life. This relates to this project. And you could literally, if you could very quickly do that, then you could see it in all those different contexts. Wow, I have 5 minutes. And you'll see all the less than 5 minute things you could be doing. Or, wow, my brain is dead right now. So you have a brain dead list. Here's all the things that require no mental horsepower. Or you say, you know, I don't think I've been putting enough time and attention on my family. And you suddenly see all the things that are related to your family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could do that in any kind of a relational database, or you could do that in Excel in a spreadsheet if you wanted to lay out all those things. The problem is right now it would just take much too much effort.
Yes.
And every time you inserted something, it'd be too much work to try to figure out how to scope all that stuff.
More than 2 minutes.
You know, that will be coming. At some point, it'll be much easier to be able to see it that way.
But I think there are many specialized apps which do it quite well. But I think here you always have to take care that you do not over-organize, because you have applications for to-do lists which have the getting things done method in mind, and you have contexts and you have all these categories. So I think I've tried some of them, and some of them work really, really well. We will also include links to those on our show notes. So maybe our listeners...
But the best one are the simplest.
Yes, simple is better, because it has to have... You have to be willing to work it when you're sick and feel terrible.
Yeah.
Because that's only as good as your system is, as what you will still maintain at your weakest moments.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these work, as we say, on a rainy Saturday, you know, when your inner geek shows up, you know, they all work really fine. But when the reality of Monday hits you, and, you know, 6,000 emails and 42 phone calls and so forth, what you're still willing to work as a system is that's as good as it's going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So it needs to be, you need to lower the barrier to play. So you're right. A lot of those, you know, GTD related kinds of applications, they suffer feature creep. You know, they added too many bells and whistles in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it required you to think too much in order to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to think just enough so that you feel, okay, I've parked it appropriately and I won't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tricky line. To walk.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we have covered all 5 steps. Many questions that arises to us, and so the
answers for business analysts.
Yes, of course. And so the last final question is, well, if you would advise our listeners what to do first, so how to start it all.
Well, you know, actually the best thing to do if you haven't read Getting Things Done is get the book and read the book. It's very well written and designed to actually walk you through the process and explore, some of the details.
Yes.
If you've read the book and you said, yeah, but I just haven't really started to do it, it's very easy to start. Just pen and paper and get an in-basket. And, you know, just, you know, follow these basic steps. It's very easy to play. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is, as we say, this is not like running with scissors. This is not dangerous stuff to play in. You know, anything you do in this regard is going to help. Mm-hmm. So even if you just wrote a few more things down than you have, even if you just decide a few next actions on some of your projects, you know, before, you know, kind of when they show up instead of when they blow up, that'll help. All this helps. So mm-hmm. these are, you know, it's fairly simple stuff. So that's what I would suggest. You can look on our website, davidco.com, davidco.com. There's lots of fun stuff there. There's some, you know, free articles that you can get and get our newsletter that'll sort of keep reminding you about all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So those are easy ways to start. Get around people who are doing this, by the way, and ask them. You can learn as much from each other for people that have really started to implement this process.
Mm-hmm. And so, just start.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So we will ask our listeners, if there are any questions, just write us and share what you have done and what works for you, especially in for all business analysts organizing their BA stuff and, well, mm-hmm. be successful in getting things done.
So it is.
Okay, thank you, David. Thank you very much for your questions and your explanation in the final note.
Gern geschehen.
Perfect.
Vielen Dank.
You're quite welcome. Take care.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.